One of the most widely used intelligence tests is something called Raven's Progressive Matrices. It requires no language skills or a specific body of acquired knowledge. It's a measure of abstract reasoning skills. A typical Raven's test consists of 48 items, each one harder than the one before it, and your IQ is calculated by how many items you get right. If I gave you the hardest question on the Raven's, I'm guessing you wouldn't get it correct. Nor would I. Chris Langan almost certainly could, however. When we say that people like Langan are really brilliant, what we mean is that they have the kind of mind that can figure out puzzles like that last hardest Raven's question. Over the years, an enormous amount of research has been done trying to figure out how a person's performance on an IQ test like the Raven's translates to real-life success. People at the bottom of the scale, with IQs below 70, are considered mentally disabled. A score of 100 is average. You probably need to be just above that mark to be able to handle college. To get into and succeed in a reasonably competitive graduate program, meanwhile, you probably need an IQ of at least 115. In general, the higher your score, the more education you'll get, the more money you'll make, and, believe it or not, the longer you'll live. But there's a catch. This relationship between success and IQ works only up to a point. Once someone has reached an IQ of somewhere around 120, having additional IQ points doesn't seem to translate into any measurable real-world advantage. It is amply proved that someone with an IQ of 170 is more likely to think well than someone whose IQ is 70, the British psychologist Liam Hudson has written. And this holds true where the comparison is much closer, between IQs of, say, 100 and 130. But the relation seems to break down when one is making comparisons between two people, both of whom have IQs which are relatively high. A mature scientist with an adult IQ of 130 is as likely to win a Nobel Prize as one whose IQ is 180. What Hudson is saying is that IQ is a lot like height in basketball. Does someone who is 5'6" have a realistic chance of playing professional basketball? Not really. You need to be at least 6 foot or 6'1" to think of playing at that level, and all things being equal, it's probably better to be 6'2" than 6'1", and better to be 6'3" than 6'2". But past a certain point, height stops mattering so much. A player who is 6'8" is not automatically better than someone 2 inches shorter. Michael Jordan, the greatest player ever, was 6'6" after all. A basketball player only has to be tall enough. And the same is true of intelligence. Intelligence has a threshold. The introduction to the 1 versus 100 episode pointed out that Einstein had an IQ of 150 and Langan has an IQ of 195. Langan's IQ is more than 30% higher than Einstein's. But that doesn't mean Langan is 30% smarter than Einstein. That's ridiculous. All we can say is that when it comes to thinking about really hard things like physics, they are both clearly smart enough. This idea that IQ has a threshold, I realize, goes against our intuition. We think that, say, Nobel Prize winners in science must have the highest IQ scores imaginable, that they must be the kinds of people who got perfect scores on their entrance examination in college, and who won every scholarship available, and had such stellar academic records in high school that they were scooped up by the top universities in the country.